Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Thursday, the 7th of May.
Good morning.
She's back. She's back down off the old baby cloud. She's back. Ditched you all for best part of a week, I think, since you've been on here.
It is. Been concentrating on our little baby Ari.
Got his name now. Ari. A-R-I. Ari is the name that Jodie has chosen for her baby boy, or Jodie and her boyfriend Chris have chosen for her baby boy. For me, all I can think of, if you've watched Entourage, that is all I can think of.
Lloyd!
which Entourage is, if you haven't seen it, is one of my favourite TV shows ever. Brilliant. And I had a character in it called Ari Gold. But yes, it is baby Ari, who is doing well now, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Weighing in at nearly 3 pounds.
Yeah, nearly 3 pounds. Baby Winston, not doing quite so well. baby Winston has this morning, while I've been on calls, eaten my trainers.
And he's just farted.
Brand new trainers. I've not had them long. And he has sat and devoured them. No, you're naughty. Go away. So that's your slippers, my trainers. A trail of Winston destruction through the house.
Two pairs of flip-flops.
It's all not good, is it?
No.
Got a thing with shoes, boy. Yeah, so I've got to go and buy some new trainers when shops open and things, and we can. And the last time I went to buy new trainers.
Wow, there's a story. There's a story.
Go on then. Speak up, they can't hear you.
Well, you went to go and buy new trainers, but the pair you were wearing were an odd pair. So you had a left one of one type of trainer and a right one of another type of trainer.
Oh,
and when you looked down to go and take them off, you nearly ran out the shop.
I did, yeah. It was embarrassing. I did go out of the house with two completely different shoes on, one on my left foot and one on my right foot. Didn't notice. Nobody noticed until I went to go to try the new trainers on.
I wish I still had the picture I took.
Yeah, I'm glad you haven't. And we got an anniversary. We got an anniversary to say. It's not good, this. He's a flipping lover Liverpool fan. King Kenny. King Kenny at the poker.
Oh, he's a good player.
He's a pain in my ass, flipping Liverpool fans. But that aside, Kenny, putting all our football grievances to one side, it is your 20th wedding anniversary to Ruby. So firstly, massive congratulations on your wedding anniversary.
And well done, Ruby, for putting up with King Kenny so long.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah. She must be so... Well, and going on from that, more importantly, Ruby is a nurse who's doing an amazing job in the time. Clap for the nurses, clap for the NHS,
yay.
Clap for Ruby. So basically, Kenny,
you've married an angel.
Yeah, you're an afterthought in this. Congratulations. It's all about Ruby. Staying with you, and thank you ever so much, Ruby, for what you're doing, despite all the nut jobs out there. I think it's fantastic. And stay safe, most importantly. But well done to both of you. Only thing you'll be celebrating this year, Kenny, I can tell you. She's off the dog. She's had to exit the building with the dog. She'll be back in a minute. She got a story for you. We were discussing funny things in our life, and this is an absolute beauty.
Now, give a dog a bone.
Before mobile phones, we were living somewhere in the depths of Devon. I can't remember where we were living. Oakhampton, I think it was, wasn't it?
Jodie was about five.
Yeah.
So long, long time ago.
25, 26 years ago. And I went on a golf trip with some guys. I didn't drive at the time. I hadn't even learnt how to drive. So that's how long ago it was. Yeah, I'd have been, 21, 22, 23, something like that. So I hadn't learnt to drive. Sam could drive, I couldn't. And I went on this golf trip and I got a lift to it, and it was up near Reading, and we were there for the week. So a guy picked me up, took me, played golf, but he couldn't bring me back home because he was going on up to London for something else for the weekend, and we were heading home. One of the guys was from round Chippenham, and he said, well, I can drop you to Chippenham, and Chippenham Golf Club's just off the motorway, so I could drop you there on the way back. And perhaps your wife can drive up and pick you up there. In fact, I don't think you were even my wife at the time.
I think I was not. I think
you were my girlfriend. I said, could pick me
up
there. You're my girlfriend. She's my girlfriend. So,
well, I'm your girl, but I may not be your friend.
So I phoned Sam from where we were and said, I've got a lift back to Chippenham. We're going to be leaving at XYZ. I'll be at Chippenham Golf Club at about 4 o'clock. And it was winterish time, wasn't it? It was heading into sort of autumn,
didn't
winter.
Didn't you phone the house phone?
Yeah, well, we didn't have mobiles then, did we? So I phoned the house phone and said, can you pick me up there? We'll be there about 4 o'clock, Chippenham Golf Club. It's off Junction 17 of the M5. That's what I said, thinking that she's just got to get out on to the old M5 at Exeter, straight up the M5, pick me up. Golf club's just off the M5. Only I had the wrong motorway. It's off Junction 17 of the M4. So this guy has come off at the M4, dropped me. I didn't have the heart to say to him it's wrong. I went into a bit of panic mode, I'm not going to lie. And I was stood as it was getting dark at Chippenham Golf Club. No mobile phone. The club was shut. They were shutting up. With my golf clubs and my sort of hold all of clothes, it was getting colder. And I thought, I don't know what to do. I was in the middle of nowhere. There's not much. There's Chippenham Golf Club. I didn't know the area at all. So I just stood there thinking, I don't know what to do. I can't move. I can't get hold of Sam. I am really tucked myself up here. And fair play to the girl on my left here. She fathomed it out and worked it out.
Only at the services did I realise that you had given me the wrong information. Yeah. So I stopped and looked at a map. A map. Nobody uses maps these days. And they say women can't use maps. They do it wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I figured it out
and
drove up. And picked you up, and you looked like Casper the Ghost.
I can remember seeing two headlights pull in the drive, dark, pitch black by then, seeing two headlights pull in the drive, and the sense of relief that, because I recognised the headlights straight away. We had a Vauxhall Cavalier, didn't we?
We did.
And I recognised the headlights. As soon as they turned in, I thought, that's our car. And the relief that swept over me that you had been able to work it out and find me. Was incredible, because I thought, well, I'm going to have to wait till you get back home. You're going to give up and go home and I'll ring and you'll be there. But there wasn't even a phone. The phone box was in the clubhouse and they'd locked that up. So I had nothing to do. But we do every time we go that way now, don't we?
Yes, when we visit my sister in Bristol.
We have a little nod to Junction 17.
We do indeed.
And your orienteering skills of being able to find me. Yeah, so that I do make the odd Rick. See, that was a Rick. The two trainers was a Rick. Yeah. I'll make the odd one. There we go. Not to worry. Move on. We'll laugh at my expense. Let's get back to digging Kenny out. Right, where are we? What are we having? Recipes. You going to do some?
Yes.
I think you need to speak up a bit. These people,
okay.
You're whispering. You're not talking to the baby now. So this is where you've been whispering to that baby.
I have.
Down
on FaceTime.
Yeah,
yes.
You've been, hello, little one there.
Yeah.
Now, this is adults. Speak clear. Speak clear.
Right,
we're having.
We're going to do a baked tomato and mozzarella pasta.
Spot on.
For the vegetarians, but also if you're not vegetarian, you can put some tritzo in there to make it a meat eater's one, or sausage even. So there's that, and I was going to do a lemon drizzle tray bake, as that makes quite a bit, and it's easy to make, and everybody loves lemon drizzle.
Good stuff.
It's a Mary Berry recipe, so it's come from the best lady that bakes the cakes.
Spot on.
Okay, so you want me to start with the pasta first?
You go, whatever order you're taking over now.
Well, you just...
You crack on.
Okay, so the ingredients is... So this serves four people, and the ingredients are 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 small onion finely chopped, 1 garlic clove crushed, 1 small carrot diced, a celery stalk diced, a 400 gram tin of chopped tomatoes, and a cup of small, I think it says 45 grams of black olives, pitted, some black pepper, 300 grams of cooked pasta such as penne or similar, 75 grams of mozzarella cheese, and that needs to be torn into pieces. So you preheat the oven to about 180 degrees centigrade, 350 Fahrenheit, and gas mark 4. Heat the olive oil in a pan over a medium-low heat and cook the onion, stirring for about 5 minutes until it's nice and soft. You add the garlic, carrot, celery and cook that, stirring for another 5 minutes. You add the tomatoes and bring to the boil and then reduce the heat to a low simmer for 5 minutes. You stir in the olives, season with salt and pepper and remove from the heat. So you stir the tomato sauce through the cooked pasta, spoon it into a casserole dish. You dot with the mozzarella and bake for 30 minutes. And as I said, you can put sausage in there or chorizo if you want a bit of meat. And then take it out, chomp away.
So good stuff.
So that's the baked tomato and mozzarella pasta.
They're giving me stick, the boys, on Twitter about a pasta dish, about lasagna today, because today is the anniversary of Lasagna Gate, when Spurs got food poisoning and played West Ham and it effed our season up. They wanted you to put lasagna on. Close.
Yes.
Fucking Lasagna Gate. Sod
we'll
off.
Have baked tomato and mozzarella gate.
Yeah. Flipping Lasagna Gate. Carve up. Right, what are we doing now? What's
this? This is a lemon drizzle tray break.
Easy for you to say. Well, lemon drizzle tray bake.
Yep, it
Go
is.
Go on, crack on. They'll love this.
Right, we need the ingredients is 225 grams of butter softened, 225 grams of caster sugar, 275 grams of self-raising flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 4 eggs, 4 tablespoons of milk, and finely grated rind of 2 lemons. For the crunchy topping, you need 5 grams of granulated sugar and the juice of 2 lemons. You need a tray bake or a roasting tin. It needs to be about 30 by 23 by 4. And for those of us that still work in inches, 12 by 9 by 1.5. Right, so you need to cut some baking parchment to fit in the base and the sides of the tray bake tin. You grease it and line with the paper. You preheat the oven to 160 degrees centigrade, 325 degrees Fahrenheit and gas 3. Measure all the ingredients for the tray bake into a large bowl and beat until it's all well blended with a food mixer. And you put the mixture into the tray bake. You bake in the middle of the preheated oven for about 35 to 40 minutes until it's bouncy and springs back.
Okay.
you take it out and you let it cool down for a few minutes. Then lift the tray bake out of the tin still in the lining paper. Carefully remove the paper and put the tray bake onto a wire rack. And then you tip the topping over the top of the...
Is that the drizzle, is it?
The drizzle over the cake.
Okay.
While it's still warm. And then you can cut into squares when it's cold. And
bit of icing sugar sprinkled on top?
That is the topping. The topping is lemon juice and granulated sugar because it gives it that crunchiness.
I didn't know whether you added a bit of, for snow effect, a bit of icing sugar, that was all.
No, well, no, you don't. Okay. There's no effect. You just...
Right. No effects. No effects on
you
this cake.
You just eat it. You don't.
Right. No effects on this cake.
It's a no nonsense cake.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much for that. Lovely.
Anything else?
I've got nothing else. No, I've got nothing else. I need to waffle a bit about football now.
Oh well, that's when I exit stage left.
Right. Thank you for coming. Thanks all. There you are.
Have a lovely day, guys.
Sammy's back. There you go.
See you at poker on Friday.
Yeah, you better pull your finger out. Right, where are we? Steve's also sent a joke in. Steve King Kenny, I'm going to use his joke of the day as it's his anniversary as well. Not a bad one, actually. I did have a little chuckle at this one, Steve. What did the bacon say to the egg? You crack me up. Yeah, you crack me up. Not bad, Steve. It's good. Like it. Book of the day is, I actually have read this, but somebody also sent it in and said, have I read it, as a recommendation. S.U.M.O Sumo, which stands for Shut Up and Move On, which is the straight talking guide to succeeding in life. So another self-help book, but very good. Case studies, examples, sort of principles to help you get on and do that. One I'd forgotten about, read it and forgot all about it. So obviously had a lasting memory on me, but no, it is a good book. So Shut Up and Move On by Paul McGee, who's he's written a fair few books on this sort of topic. But yeah, that is a good book. So Sumo, Shut Up and Move On, £4.78 on Kindle. Thank you for that, whoever sent it in. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember who sent it to me. But thank you ever so much for that recommendation. Steve Bellamy it was. Thank you, Steve. Cheers. Right. I've done a couple of webinars this week. And this morning, Betty Blogger started a thread in the two webinars, asked both times, what's my view on football when it returns? With the proposed plans that are being spoken of. I'm not one, you may have noticed, I'm not one for speculating, so at the minute I don't have any hard and fast thoughts on what happens. If I take, there's a couple of elements to it. One is my personal opinion on football, the situation in general, which I will share, which I think when this first started and we didn't know how much time and this again, people are going to come at me and say it's a Liverpool fan, but it's actually nothing to do with that. But what was stated was the season has got to be finished for the integrity of the competition. That is what the main drive of carrying on was. I think that's fundamentally dishonest. I think that the only reason they want to finish the season is money. When you talk about the integrity of the competition, and then you start talking, I mean, the PFA chairman, Gordon Taylor, talking about 30-minute halves, I mean, that won't happen. It's absolute nonsense. It can't possibly happen. You know, you're talking about integrity, and then you're saying, right, we're going to play games over 30 minutes. I don't even see what the common sense in that is at all. But then you start talking about playing games on neutral venues. Where is the integrity in the competition in that? Obviously, not many. One of the things that's disappointed me is not many chairmen of football clubs have actually come out and passed any real comments. The Palace chairman, Parish, wrote what I thought was a really good piece somewhere at the weekend, made sense. And Brighton have come out and said they're opposed to neutral venues. I think Karen Brady's hinted a couple of times they're not overly fussed about the season, but now she's come out and said they are. But if you take Brighton have got to play Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool and Man City as home fixtures. Brighton in the relegation sort of area. The only real chance they've got in those games, to me, is for them to be at home with home advantage, and we've seen it in years previous with teams like Palace, Brighton themselves, pulling off results down there. I've been to the Amex, great little stadium. Starting to take those teams and say, right, you're going to play Liverpool at Wembley, I just think gives Liverpool a massive, you know, massive advantage. So I don't see any integrity in what's being discussed at all. That's just my first view. I think this is, for me, it's highlighting what a shambles our football setup is. And you look at the Championship, for example, £1 billion in wages, £100 million in TV money. It's just unsustainable stuff like that, and this has highlighted it. And I hope, but I don't think, I do think with football eventually it'll all just exactly revert back to normal. I don't think there'll be any significant changes, other than some clubs are probably going to go bust. But the big guys don't tend to give a shit about that in my eyes. But I can't for 1 minute take the integrity angle seriously anymore. They're trying to finish it for money because they don't want to give the TV money back. I fully understand that you can't have 50,000 people in one place at the minute, and who knows when, you know, it may be 2022 before that's able to happen again. Germany are restarting in their own grounds. Obviously, in your own ground without your crowd is slightly different, but I still think there's a familiarity to it that gives you a little bit of an advantage. From a punting side, firstly, things are going to be priced in, and I've read the Twitter thread again. I don't tend to discuss this sort of stuff on Twitter in limited characters and multiple people chipping in. It's just not what I do. But a lot of valid comments on there. The two racing guys, Steve and Matt, have come on there, and I think, you know, their overriding thing is caution, and I think that's a wise thing. Dio, I think, has put, you know, I can't remember the exact words because I'm not reading the thread, but something about, I doubt anybody will be able to price it up properly because it's a difficult thing to factor in, isn't it? How do you factor in taking Brighton and Tottenham playing to playing at, I don't know, Villa Park or West Ham Stadium? Nobody's really got the data to function that out. I imagine it will be a little bit like cup games, but for me, you've got to wait and see. I think you've just got to wait and see what happens when the fixtures are determined, where they're going to be played, and what it does to the prices. You know, Tottenham might be priced at 1.8 in a game if it was at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and they might be priced at 2.1 because it's somewhere else. So if you had system involved back in them 1.5 to 2 or whatever, then you wouldn't be, it wouldn't come up anyway. So I think you've almost got to look at what the bets get thrown up, and see what effect it is then, rather than sort of carte blanche saying I'm down in tools now. I will wait and see what the markets offer to the fixtures available, and yeah, I'll be cautious, but the one thing's going to be certain, there'll be goals. I certainly would want to be favouring the big teams if we take neutral venues, as opposed to outsiders. But you know, you look at that, as I said the other day, if Liverpool win the league, allegedly they're going to give all their big players the summer off from that point, to stay safe and get ready for another season. You don't know how fit teams are going to be. I think, you know, again, I just say I'm not into speculation. Once they've told us what's going on and we've got a plan, that's what I will then have a look at. You know, people asking me about what's happening with Ultimate for next season. We haven't finished this season. I don't know. Once I know what's happening, when games are being played, over what time span, in what grounds, then I'll do it with that. But I understand why people want to talk about it and get it fully. I'm not decrying that at all. It's you know, you want to, we all want to know what's going on, don't we, and get into that, what you're going to do. But I think, you know, the words that ring with me are caution. That's the one word that I think that you've just got to be, any sport, I think, starting back up again. I don't know much about cricket, tennis, stuff like that, but I just think there's an air of caution to what you're going to do. I certainly won't be looking at, oh, I'm just going to carry on as normal. I will wait and see exactly what is put forward, and see how it is. I don't think it'll be a massive difference in Germany. It'll be interesting to see the crowd factor. How much does it play? You know, somebody's put their affecting referees. That might be a valid point. Maybe affecting linesmen more, because linesmen are going to be able to run up and down without anybody screaming at them, put your flag up. There'll be no pressure on them. There's lots of elements to it. I think probably the first week will be a watch and see what happens. Watch the games on TV and see if you if there's any noted differences. Another concern of mine is mid-table teams, once they're safe, you know, without a crowd there. You know, at least if you're going out in front of a crowd, you want to at least look as if you're trying to put it on. If you're safe and you've got a game, are you that bothered without a crowd? So it might be, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I'm of the view, and I know it's an unpopular one, I think they should bin the whole season off. I really do. I think they should bin the whole thing off, and get ready to start a new season when it's safe to do so. But But I know that's a minority opinion, and there's problems either way. Whatever way you go with this, I keep saying it. You know, people come at me, oh, they can't do that, there'll be lawsuits. There's going to be lawsuits either way. Whatever way this goes, there'll be lawsuits over contracts, money, whatever. It's just going to be a big mess. But, yeah, I think caution is the word. People ask my views. This is why I don't do it on Twitter, because I've probably waffled on 1,000, 2,000 words there. But for me, yeah, caution. Caution will be, but I want to see the markets. That's what I want to see. I want to see those first games out and priced up, even the German games. Be interesting to see how the market settles with the factor of no crowds. But I would like, I'd certainly, if we were going to play, I'd like to see it that teams are playing in their own grounds. But I understand all the problems around it. It's a shambles. So, move on. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. I had a request from Richard Pierce. Interested in seeing how, with the no league dependent, but the strategy to look for games where the Betfair price for 0-0 correct score, final score is 18 or higher. And then in those games, if you back to first half goal at a price of 1.2 or above. Richard, it doesn't win. The actual price of 1.2 or above doesn't remove many games, actually. There's not many games that start with a first half goal less than 1.2. There's a few, but it's not a substantial amount. You've picked a very low odd bracket there. And the criteria that you met across the database, I ran it. I think the database had 23,000 games. With your two criteria, there were 6,000 games just under, I think, left. And they lost 128 points backing a first half goal. Just to give you an example of the sort of that it's that first half goal price is the one that is really, it's not really removing much. Just to give you an example, there are in my database here, let's just see, bear with me a second, just in my first half goal section, I've got 21,987 games. This isn't the database I use for your sheet, but I'll just open one that would be quicker, because the one I use for you is a massive great file. So 21,000. Sorry, clicking around here like a lunatic. 21,987, and those over 1.2 for a first half goal are 21,605. So that only across just my first half goal database, that 1.2 criteria. Only removes 300 games, so my starting point, if you're even looking at that, is you've got to look at the price you'd want a first half goal, because you're pretty much including every game. So then you're saying, right, can I make money in the first half goal market if it's priced over 18? No, you can't, certainly not carte blanche across the field. So that is it. Hopefully that answered it. If you want to go into any more detail, then do give me a shout back. But that is that done. So there you go. I'm going to use that as a stat of the day. Richard's one. Nothing good to report there, Richard. Sorry. Have I done everything? I can't remember. I feel this has dragged on this morning and I'm still reeling from the loss of my trainers. Right. Have a lovely, what is it? Thursday, isn't it? Have a lovely Thursday. And I will be back with you guys tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening as always.